Turn with me, please, this morning to Psalm 109. It's a psalm of David, probably written in response to when David had to flee for his life and his faithful counselor, Ahithophel, turned away from him and was with Absalom. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg let them seek thy bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the strangers spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before thee continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in hearted. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he hath clothed himself with cursing, like as his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil in his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through my fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I become also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed. Let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame. Let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. It is especially the last part of verse 4 that is our text as we look at prayer. But I give myself unto prayer. Let's look at the catechism. Lord's Day 45, where we begin the second section of our gratitude. The first section of gratitude was following the commandments. And now the last part of the part of gratitude is prayer. Question 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And also, because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Question 117, what are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? Answer first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word, for all things He hath commanded of us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we might rightly and thoroughly know our need and our misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer, as He has promised in His Word. Question 118. What doth God commanded us to ask of Him? Answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer that He Himself has taught us. Question 119, what are the words of that prayer? This is our prayer. Would you please read it or recite it with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Scriptures, we find that God's people are presented as a praying people. Prayer is our privilege and it is our calling. God's people cry to the Lord in their distress. They call upon Him in the day of trouble. They seek His fellowship. They worship and adore His holy name. They praise Him. They thank Him. God's people are admonished always to pray and never to faint. Yes, to pray without ceasing. And that really is no wonder that that is our calling and that's what we do, because we are called a kingdom of priests. What does it mean? What was the work of a priest? And that is the same work of all of us as believers, young and old, a kingdom of priests. Well, priests would first of all offer up prayers to Jehovah for God's people. And second of all, priests were called to offer up sacrifices and offer up their own lives in service as a thank offering to God. So that is our calling. Not merely our duty, it's that too, but it's our privilege. It's the greatest activity that we can engage in, that we can enter into and perform. And that means, beloved, that we must not treat our office of believer casually, And we may not treat our prayers casually. It is a garment that is put upon us. It is a calling that we are given with. A kingdom of priests, continually in prayer and also giving our lives in service to God in thankfulness. Notice our text. The psalmist says in verse 4 there, I give myself unto prayer. That is David as he is fleeing from Absalom's army, and he is betrayed by one of his counselors, Ahithophel. What a hurt. But even as David is here looking at his own life so sadly running for his life, God's people have turned against him following Absalom. David is a type of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, who came into this world and was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yes, even those of his own turned against him, whether it be Peter denying him or Judas betraying him. A complaint. Yes, it is an imprecatory psalm. It is a psalm of David against his enemies, and verse after verse after verse, he speaks it. And the same words are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ also upon the wicked, those who do not belong to him, that were not given to him by Jehovah God before the foundations of the world. And those are our words also as believers. As believers, we stand alone, small like a booth in a cucumber field, from the book of Isaiah, despised, hated. May the enemies of God, who are also our enemies then, be turned back, and may they be left desolate because they reject the triune God in his Christ. It is our prayer. It is our giving glory to God and looking to him to hold us up. How we need that because we are so weak. How David needed the Lord at that time. He was a sinner too, wasn't he? But we cry out to him, trusting in the blood that is shed in the Old Testament of the animals pointing forward to Christ Jesus. He prays frequently. He prays fervently. He says, I am given to prayer, or I have given myself to prayer. As a kingdom of priests, do you only pray once in a while? Or can it be said of you and of me that we are given to prayer? In other words, I'm asking this question. How much time do you and how much time do I spend with God each day in prayer? Is it your constant activity? Whether you're cleaning in the house or making a meal, whether you're in the office or the field or the factory or whatever place of occupation. Pretty soon, you boys and girls in school, are you in are you conscious of your need for Jehovah God to bless your labors and to keep you from temptation and from sin? I have given myself unto prayer. So my theme is given to prayer. What is prayer, first of all? The necessity of prayer, and then the content of our prayer. What is prayer? It's called many different things in Scripture. There's different words used or employed for different forms of prayers, and they describe different aspects of our prayer life. It is an engagement of our whole heart and soul. One Old Testament word means to judge. That is, it means to exhibit or expose one's cause before the face of God. It is like King Hezekiah when he lays before the Lord the letter that was sent. Psalm 5, verse 3, in the morning will I direct my prayer. I will exhibit my needs before the Lord. Or Psalm 6, verse 9, another word from the Old Testament, usually translated supplication. That is, it invokes God's favor or grace or pity or mercy. Psalm 6, verse 9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. He is setting his face on me in love. There's a third word in the Old Testament. It means to bring forth, to produce, to speak, or to cry out. Psalm 55, verse 17, I will pray and cry out. Psalm 105, verse 2, talk ye all of his marvelous works. Shout out what the Lord has done for you and for me. There's still another word yet in the Old Testament. It is a cry for help from oppression. Psalm 9, verse 13, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble, those who are being oppressed. All different aspects of this, what we call prayer. But let's go to the New Testament. There is a word that is in the New Testament translated worship. That is, it's talking about the proper attitude of our hearts, profound reverence, profound prostrating ourselves before God and worshiping. Other words express a childlike confidence and fellowship with God. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, laying these needs out before God. Or there is that sense of great need. I think of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Bring your request, bring your needs before the Lord. Come with a devoted heart, prostrating yourself before God's throne. The activity of prayer is the lifting of one's soul before God. It is a calling upon his name. It is a seeking him, seeking his face of love. It is a bowing down before his temple. And more than that, it's entering into his holy presence, his sanctuary. It's drawing near to the Lord. It's a pouring out of our souls before God and waiting patiently upon him. Prayer. The Heidelberger does not open this Lord's Day with what prayer is, but before we're going to talk about its necessity, which the Heidelberger does, what exactly are we called to do? Come before God with our urgent needs. You see, prayer is a spiritual activity, isn't it? It is the activity of coming with our heart before God, offering praise and thanks, and coming with all of our needs and petitions, those things that are agreeable to His will. We trust in the Lord. We seek His face, and we bring our petitions. A spiritual act. It is not something that all men can do. It is only the child of God. The child of God not merely saying some words repetitiously, not exclamations in time of trouble. How many times don't you find someone surprised or in trouble and they cry out, "Oh my God!" Are they really addressing God? Are they just using repetitions, taking God's name in vain? It is a spiritual act, not where we're trying to inform God what He ought to do or what we need. He knows. But prayer, it comes from the believing heart, trusting in God, looking to our God in Christ Jesus for all that we stand in need of, for body and for soul. Prayer is a gift of God. He gives us this gift that you and I may speak to Him even as He speaks to us through His Word and as He has spoken unto us in His Son, Jesus Christ. A gift given to us that we need to exercise. We need to exercise more frequently, fervently. Prayer is a spiritual act addressed to the sovereign God as He has revealed Himself in His Word, because He alone can help us. We address Him with the assurance, with the promise that He will hear us for Jesus' sake. Prayer is a spiritual act from a believing heart to the one true God made in Jesus' name. For it is only through our Lord Jesus Christ that we have access to God's throne, isn't it? Christ is the ground that you and I, who were enemies, are now His friends. We draw near because we come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And up there in heaven, we have Christ Jesus representing us. And we have Christ Jesus indwelling our hearts by His Spirit. What is prayer? What are the elements of prayer? We come with a believing heart, praying of our need. We pray not just because it's a nice thing to do. We pray not just because we're supposed to do it. But true prayer is in our hearts, expressed by our lips, out of need. We need God's blessing. We need God's blessing every day. Isn't that what Jeremy the prophet says in Lamentations? We are not consumed because great is thy mercy. It's new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we begin our days in prayer. And as we go through our activities, we are in prayer. It doesn't mean that we always have our hands folded or eyes closed, but we are dependent and we are looking to our God to help us. Do you know your need for God? Need for your sins to be forgiven? Do you know your need for God's strength to overcome your weakness? Do you know your need for God's favor when His wrath ought to set upon us? Is there a deep consciousness within you of your sin? Then we will come with that humility. Then we will come with that love. Then we will come with that dependence. You see, the psalmist in Psalm 109, he is crying out with his need for God. He's far away from Jerusalem, from the temple, hated and sought down by his son. His counselor has betrayed him. And he says, I give myself to prayer. Hear me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Defeat all of my enemies. And he prays also with assurance, doesn't he? And you and I must. James, in his book, writes how we must not pray with doubting, but pray believing. Believing that even though we're not worthy of God's helping us, God will hear our prayers for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. So let me go through that all again so that if some time later on you come before the consistory to confess your faith, young people, and ask, what is prayer? You may say, it is the act, a spiritual act, of looking and trusting and crying out to God in Jesus' name for all of my needs. And I do it in faith and in love and in obedience. Great need. Jesus taught his disciples, ask, seek, knock, and it will be given unto you. So that's prayer. What is it? Notice, second of all, then, from the catechism, why is prayer necessary? And the answer really is short and simple, isn't it? It's important that he asks, first of all, why is it necessary? Because often the necessity of prayer is denied, even by our own hearts. It's not really important. God's going to do whatever God has to do, and why should I then pray about it? It's kind of like the same answer that is given to, do we have to repent of our sins? Well, God is forgiving our sins from eternity. Do we really have to ask him yet for it? And the answer is yes. It is in the way of repentance that we are forgiven. It is in the way of prayer, the Catechism says, that God will give us his grace and his Spirit. So prayer is necessary, first of all, because God demands it of us. That's why we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray constantly. Second of all, prayer is necessary, the Catechism says, because it is the chief part of thankfulness. As I said, we are a kingdom of priests. We are called to be a thankful people that bring in our prayers that thanks before God's throne. Thankful because how wonderful is our forgiveness and how wonderful is his deliverance for us from sin. Two things. Through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only are we forgiven for the bad things that we have done, but we are delivered from the shackles of sin. By God's grace, we are able to do good works that he approves of. Because it all comes through the intercession of Jesus Christ. Oh, ours is a wonderful service, isn't it? Praying saints who know their need and are thankful for his help. Thankful for the new hearts that he has given to us. Thankful for the strength that he gives to us by his Spirit. Thankful for the renewed opportunities that we are given from week to week. whether it be in worship here, worship at home, or whether it be in our work or in our play, all things to serve the glory of our God. Nothing is more pleasing to our God than when His children look to Him, they seek Him, and they draw near. Prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness. No, it's not all of our thankfulness. Our thankfulness does consist also in the way that we live and conduct ourselves. But as one said once, a life without prayer is like perfume without a scent. It's no good. Prayer is the fruit. Prayer is the evidence of the work of God in us, saving us and drawing us to Himself. The Catechism says that the Lord will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who ask for it in prayer. Now perhaps you say, but even to pray that prayer, don't we already need the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, of course you do. Yes. But what the Catechism is speaking about here is the continuing gift of the Holy Spirit and that continued measure of grace in our lives. The only way to receive them as God has promised is in the way of prayer. We pray then not with the intention of changing God's mind, but we pray for what He has declared for us in His Word and what He has promised to us. Not to inform God, but rather what God holds before us. And that's why the way to pray is with your Bible open, isn't it? Pray God's Word back to Him. Lord, this is what You promised. Lord, You said You are the refuge and the strength and that high tower that we can run to. I claim that promise. And I come in need of that help. The Catechism says a couple more things. We must ask constantly, each day. Each day we find we need Him when we wake up in the morning. We need Him maybe even to forgive us for the dreams that we had that night. We need His strength to go forward in His service. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do it without giving up. We need to pray with a heartfelt urgency and longing. May they not be superficial. May they not just be phrases that we've heard so often and we throw back again. Our prayers don't have to be long. The Lord's Prayer isn't long. But they need to be fervent. They need to be coming from that new heart. That new heart from which are all the issues of one's life. Pray. Pray for what God promises us. Pray for what He says He will help us with. Why? Because He is pleased to give it to us in the way of prayer. So in this catechism, there are several truths that we learn. Number one, pray constantly. Why? We learn that we are not able to provide for ourselves. We need to go to the One who is supreme, in charge of all things, who loves us. And we learn that with our prayers, we don't earn anything. We learn that God gives graciously and freely. In fact, He gives more abundantly than we could ever imagine in our minds. We learn that His grace is to us only because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Our sins are blotted out and we are drawn in fellowship to God. That is why we always close our prayers, boys and girls, with that name, with that request. In the name of Jesus, for Jesus' sake, hear me, Lord. Amen. Prayer is necessary. It is the vital breath of the child of God. Just as breathing in air is necessary for our continued earthly life. So the Catechism teaches us then, thirdly, the contents of prayer. One way to easily remember what we should be praying for is that little word, acts. Acts, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. Now, it's true that the Heidelberg Catechism doesn't use all those elements. What Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount and later on when the disciples ask Him, teach us how to pray, what Jesus teaches in the Lord's Prayer is that last one, really, your needs. There are those who wrongly think that the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer is God's needs, and then we go from God's needs to our needs, the next three petitions. That's false. That's false. The first three petitions, God doesn't need anything from us. It is our need for God to be adored and to be praised, and that I am one of those that praise Him. It is my need that God's name is not only hallowed, but that His kingdom will come. It is my and your need that His will be done by us in our lives, as well as that daily bread and the forgiveness of our sins and the deliverance from the evil one. What must we pray for? Surely not just whatever comes to our minds. That is why we teach our children how to pray, isn't it? Little children will sometimes use things and pray for things that they ought not to. What must we pray for? Teach your children what prayer consists of, what God promises to do and is able to do. Clearly, we may not pray for those things that are contrary to God's will. It would be wrong, young men, for you to pray for God to bring this young girl who is not a Christian to like you so that you could date her. God's word says, don't be unequally yoked. You may pray that kind of thing. What things may you pray for positively with the disciples? I think that first of all, we should ask them, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray properly. Teach us how to pray a prayer that is approved by God, where He delights in. So that we do not pray sinfully, wrongfully. We ask Him for all things necessary for body and for soul. Things necessary. Is it right, young men, for you to see a beautiful convertible driving down the Lord and say, hey, Lord, down the road, and you say, Lord, I like that kind of car. Please help me. No, you mayn't pray that. Surely you may pray to the Lord because you need four wheels to get to that job to do your work. But not luxuries. You pray for those things that are needful for the body and those things that are needful for our soul. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. May Thy kingdom come more and more in my own heart and life. May I do Thy will, O Lord, as the angels do perfectly in heaven. Yes, we ask all these things. That's the note of true prayer, that God will be glorified in and by us, praying for those things that are in harmony with His Word. That's why I said, pray with your Bibles open. The inmost desires of our heart is set on worship of our God, His glory. We pray, Thy will be done. Lord, these things for my body and these things for my soul, I pray so that I may be a fit child of God, a young man or a young lady, an older saint, who loves God and walks with Him in fellowship, calls to Him, Lord, show me the way I must go. You'll remember that was the call to worship, wasn't it? From Psalm 25. In other words, all earthly things, that God's name will be hallowed, He'll be glorified, whether it's our prosperity or if it is our adversity, whether it's in health for us or whether it's in sickness and we're laid up on a bed, whether it be peace around us as a nation or whether there be war, whether it's a joyful time or a sorrowful time, all of our life and even in death, that God receives all the glory through us and by us. What are the contents of the prayer, beloved? I want you to think of this word, that our prayers are theocentric. Theocentric, what does that mean? That our prayers are God-centered. That every time that we thank Him, praise Him, confess our sins, express our thanks for blessings already given or supplicate Him, our mind is God-centered, that my life may be God-centered. The psalmist is praying in Psalm 109 for deliverance. Yes, that God's name will be hallowed, that God's will be done, that His kingdom will flourish. What a good prayer that was. What would have happened if Absalom would have killed David? The throne would not have gone to Solomon, nor the seed of David, that is the Christ, would have established His kingdom. All these enemies of David must be pushed aside. They must be consumed in God's wrath so that David, as a type of Christ, may continue to reign. And finally, it is our Lord Jesus that is on the throne. So you see, our prayers have to be, first of all, theocentric. And second of all, they need to be Christocentric. That means we are praying these things through and for and by Christ Jesus. That's the only way that you and I can stand in the presence of God, can draw near to Him in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was made our head, the head of the elect church. And our prayers come through Him and are acceptable to God. Lord, teach us to pray. May that be our theme as a kingdom of priests. So we've seen why prayer is necessary. We have seen that the content of prayer. Why pray? Not because prayer is man's invention, but into trouble, therefore I'm going to pray. But rather, God will give the Spirit of Christ and the Word of Christ to us all our daily needs. Psalm 109, but I will give myself unto prayer. You see, there's a difference between praying once in a while and our whole life given to prayer, looking to our God, each step of our path, in each work of our hands, with each speech out of our mouth. What is prayer? An offering up of the desires for the things for our body and for our soul, praying for those things that are according or agreeable to His will. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 6, making known our requests. Psalm 123, verse 1, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. There's our confidence, isn't it? We don't pray, we don't look to mankind to somehow help us. We don't look to ourselves to get through our difficulties in life. Psalm 123, verse 1, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Prayer necessary. Prayer that is loved by God and heard by our God. Proverbs 15, verse 8. The prayer of the upright is His delight. Let us be a praying people. And I emphasize this this morning because sometimes we think we're just too busy. It's hard to get out of bed in the morning, and so we get out at the last minute. We didn't have time to pray. May we be a praying people, given to prayer, morning, noon, and night. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for the gift of prayer, that we human beings may address the living God, that we as little children dependent upon Thee may cry out with our needs and request Thy help and Thy blessing. We thank Thee, Father, that we may speak to Thee for the sake or through Christ Jesus. He's our Savior. And even as Thou dost delight in Thine own begotten Son, so also Thou dost delight in us and our speech to Thee. Hear us. We pray. Amen.